Hey everyone, welcome to Nervous Wreck. Sorry it's been a minute. I've been just watching the fall of civilization like you guys have. What the fuck's going on, man? Shit be crazy, dude. What the fuck? They stormed the castle, dude. The creepy monsters stormed the castle. I think mental illness is a serious issue, and it makes me wonder. My buddy said this to me because, you know, I'm fascinated with the QAnon stuff and the cult of Trump. And my buddy Chris said, makes you wonder if you're in a cult. So I wonder, am I in a cult too? Am I brainwashed by a different narrative? This is just so crazy. We're just living in a couple different narratives. And don't worry, this ain't going to get too political. I just like to vent because this shit's fascinating. You know, I'm trying to detox the news. I took my social media off my phone. It's so hard to not plug into the news, but it's so depressing. Do you guys have those friends who watch the news all day long? Like you go to their house and they just have fucking Fox or CNN just all day with red letters blaring up, you know, with the stinging music. That can't be good for you. There's no way you should have the 24-hour news cycle on 22 hours a day. I'm sorry. Dip in and out. Check what's going on. Get the updates on your phone, but don't be just watching the news all day with. And another thing, commercials blaring. So they make commercials louder than the regular show on purpose. So when you go to take a piss, you hear the commercial in the other room. It's a fact. Look it up. And my dad taught me a trick when I was young. Mute commercials. This is before TiVo or like, you know, DVR. Mute the commercials because you don't need to fill your brain with some, you know, jingle. And he's right. And I'm fascinated with how people just leave commercials blaring loud and simply don't turn it down. You don't need to hear that shit. I just got to a point where I cannot stand another commercial. It's for the dumbest people, especially now that we're in a pandemic, which is real, and you're locked down at the house and you're forced to, you know, sit around and kind of just isolate and watch TV. The daytime television is really geared towards a certain demographic. It's very insulting. And I'm a very intelligent young man, so it hurts my feelings when they try to force feed me some bullshit. Again, I keep bringing this up because it seems to be a theme for me is my belief system, right? You got to believe. I watched this amazing documentary last night. I recommend. It's called Down to Earth. It's on YouTube for free. And they basically go around. I think this is German family. Unplugs out of like the city life and moves to the Canada-Michigan border and lives with this native community and learns a lot. And then they decide to travel around the world and talk to elders in different tribes and get wisdom from all these people. They go to Australia, they go to Africa, they go to the Amazon, and they talk to like the tribe elders to get little pearls of wisdom about life. And they pretty much all say the same thing, which is, you know, there's a spirit world. You got to believe. And being from the city, I never really, until I moved out to Joshua Tree, I don't know if I was much of a believer in all that, but I'm starting to be open to it. It's kind of like astrology. Like I've always been on the fence. Like, I don't know if that's true. It seems kind of vague to me, but I want to believe, you know, I want to believe in these things. It's just hard for me to. How do you force a belief? How do you make yourself believe in something? You know, I see a lot of people around me that subscribe to a lot of crazy bullshit. I just like, part of me's jealous. I'm like, I wish I believed in that. That'd be so easy. So, you know, it's hard to change. I just want a new belief system. You got to believe in something. And maybe it's not one God. Maybe it's not monotheistic. If anything, it's polytheistic, where there's many gods, I believe, if there is. But the spirit world, I'm open to. I want to tap into that. There's some shit going on we just don't know about. I don't know. Shit be all crazy and stuff. Fucking, what else is going on? Oh, yeah. So, it looks like QAnon has. So this was the storm. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you've heard of QAnon by now, but they, you know, they keep promising these things like, oh, watch, wait, one day the Hillary emails. Oh, wait, no, wait. And then nothing happens. No, watch 5G. Nothing happens. No, wait, the storm is coming. Was that the storm? And then I saw, what's his name? The guy that yells, that's always on Joe Rogan. What's the fucking guy's? Oh my God. Really? What's the guy's name that yells? Mark Sanchez? Fuck, you know the fat dude who's fucking crazy in Austin? I gotta Google it right now. My brain, this is why I quit smoking weed. What the fuck is his name? You gotta be kidding me. You guys know who I'm talking about? A, B, C, D. Oh, Alex Jones. It was A. Alex Jones called out QAnon yesterday. He's like, you guys are full of shit. It's fucking hilarious. So now that's all, everyone's kind of turning on each other. Like, it's all fault collapsing on itself because in the end, I don't know about you guys, but like, the truth always comes out, right? The truth always comes out. And I feel like this has just been a big charade, and there's a sort of a satisfying feeling that like, okay, can we just move on from this weird chapter? Like, who knows what's going to happen next? This shit be crazy as a motherfucker, dude. Like, I don't know, man. This country's fucking nuts, dude. The misinformation floating around, the device, it's just, we lost our fucking way, dude. And I just bought this place in Joshua Tree with my life savings. Now I'm like, do I even want to live here anymore? I mean, do I sell this place and dip? Because this ain't, I don't know. The Hollywood shit seems to be done. I mean, they're shutting down every production. I don't fucking know, man. My live music gig's done for indefinitely. And even if it does, when it does recover, I don't know if I'm going to get paid what I used to get paid and if there'll be any desire to see me or if I'll even want to do it. So yeah, I'm sure all you guys relate a lot of fucking changes. I'm starting to lose it a little bit. I'll be honest. I just got back from Miami. I rolled the dice. I risked it all. My mom wasn't happy about it. I was just sitting around depressed in the desert by myself. I'm like, I got to go be around my friends. And LA is COVID fucking city. Not that Miami isn't. I went to fucking Miami for a week just to go jet ski. My boy's got a house on the water with jet skis. He's like, dude, my lady's got a condition. She's out of town with the kid, but come stay here. We don't go indoors to stuff and let, you know, no indoor shit. We stay outside for COVID, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, all right, I'll go. And I got invited to some like clubs and my boy's like, come to the spot tonight. I'm like, is it indoors? Like, yeah. I'm like, well, dude, COVID spiking. I want to be a little bit responsible. I just don't want to get it. If I could avoid it, I don't want to get it. I know a few people who said it was bone crushing 2 weeks of hell and there's still lingering effects. We don't know what it's going to look like in a year or if it shaves 3 years off your life. I just don't want to get it. So I rolled the dice and I went to Miami and I went indoors to two restaurants, which I got to be honest, felt amazing to go sit in a restaurant with your friends and have some food and socialize. How important that is for the soul. I cannot tell you how much I miss that. Just like eating with your friends. I just cook in the desert when I'm getting good at. I can make a wicked steak that'll suck your dick. And I just realized it's those simple things that we took for granted. You know, I remember before all this shit happened, the biggest problem was like, not what are you going to eat or if you can eat, where are you going to eat? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. So anyway, Miami, a few days, got invited indoor club. My boy's like, oh no, we got air ventilators. You're good. There's no COVID in there. I'm like, you don't fucking know that, bro. There's COVID in there, dude. Cause I know a few people who got it in Miami and everybody's getting it in Tulum. Then I got invited to Tulum, which I've never been. And I just hear it's just too much. Just like everybody I talk to is getting it. Like half of the people I know have gotten COVID at this point. And I felt a little reckless by going to Miami just to go hang out, but I felt like I was pretty responsible. Took a test on my way out, passed. Hopefully that was accurate. I feel fine. I don't want to get this shit if I could avoid it. That's all I'm saying. It's not that I'm afraid I'm going to die from it because I don't think that would happen. It's more like I don't want to be irresponsible and spread it and not know it and then someone get it. You know what I'm saying? Just like, I don't know. That's my take on the whole thing. But anyway, I digest. I said that wrong on purpose. So yeah, the QAnon thing seems to be all falling apart. I want to get this guy, Jude Gelini. What's his name? Alex Gelini, the guy who stormed the fucking Capitol with the regalia fucking face paint and the horns. This dude's awesome, dude. I mean, the QAnon shaman. I mean, come on, that's a fucking great name. And I'll be honest, like, it's been entertaining. It's been really my only purpose for the last year has been kind of plugged in with a couple of my friends that I've had on the podcast, Frank Stacks and Madness. We are fascinated with conspiracy theories. And yeah, it's just like, cause the whole debate is like, some of it could be true. You know, that's the problem. There could be a little fiber of truth and then but it's not binary. It's not black and white. There's nuance to it. And like MK Ultra, for instance, that really happened. Like the brainwashing, you know, machine that they did. You could look that up. That really happened. There's like, you could watch people talking about it that went through it and they're not crisis actors. They're real. That's the thing, is I just kind of look at everything with my own eyes and make my own judgment. When I watch the news, I flip around between Al Jazeera, BBC, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and I see the different narratives that are happening. You kind of filter it out, the bullshit, and you watch what someone says for yourself. Like, you don't have to watch any news to see what Trump did the other day was incite a riot. I mean, you watched him stand on the stage, call those, you watched him tweet, come and let's, you know, whatever he said. You watched it happen. It's not, there's no bullshit news right there. You watched him tweet something. You watched, you know, 10,000 people, wherever many that was, show up, and you watched them storm the regalia. And you watched him stand by as it happened. So there's no like, oh no, like it's over, dude. You can't back this guy anymore. As an American, as a human being with a conscience and a soul and a heart and a gut and a dick and a vagina, you cannot still watch this guy and be like, that's the guy. That's the guy to lead us to the promised land who's going to make everything. No, he's not. He's not. So hopefully in this last few days of his presidency, he doesn't do anything crazy. Shit, this is all there is to talk about right now. I mean, this is it. This is crazy. I'm no political analyst. I know nothing, but I do have two eyeballs and two balls and a medium-sized big dick. So I, you know, this is what it is. Fuck, man, this shit be crazy as a motherfucker. Yeah, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, I wrote some notes. Let me see what's in my notes. I'm just fucking freezing in Joshua Tree right now. Hang on. Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, yeah, I wrote some podcast notes. I want to start telling crazy old stories that I think people would be interested in. Oh, I got some good ones. Ooh. Gus Van Sant. This is how I got, this is how I'm sitting in this chair right now, okay? I was working at MTV years ago as a VJ. This is in the 96, 97. I'm working at MTV, so I'm on MTV every day announcing videos, interviewing Tupac. It was the best. It was a great gig, and I, you know, it was my first, it was my entrance into showbiz, let's say. And there's a director named Gus Van Sant. He did Good Will Hunting. He did Drugstore Cowboy. He did a bunch of great movies. Harvey Milk movie, I think. Anyway, the dude's a genius. And he called up MTV one day and he's like, hey, I want to audition Simon for a movie I'm doing. And I'm like, so they told me that Gus Van, oh no, actually my roommate at the time, this is before cell phones. He got a call at my house. I guess he got my number from MTV and my roommate had left a note on the table that said, Gus Van Sant called for you. Here's his number. And I didn't see the note for weeks. It was like sitting under the TV. So I almost missed my destiny. I called Gus Van Sant back finally. He's like, yeah, hey, I'm glad you called. You got a good look for this movie I'm doing. Come read with me. So I go meet him, and I hear he's a very powerful gay man, so I was a little intimidated that he was going to try to do something creepy, which he didn't. And I go there, and he's sitting with Matt Damon, who had a broken leg. And I don't even think Matt Damon was a big movie star at this point. I think I knew who he was. But anyway, so I sit down to read a scene with Matt Damon, who had a cast on his leg, and the director, writer, Gus Van Sant of Good Will Hunting. And I've never acted before in my life. So I sit there and I start to read the scene and it is, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never done this before. So I'm reading the scene and Gus Van Sant stops me and he goes, Simon, I have to stop you. That's the worst audition I've ever seen. Matt Damon puts his head down and starts laughing. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I've never done this before. And he's like, no, it's okay. You're not ready, but you have something. You're just not there yet. I want to send you to an acting coach and maybe down the line we'll do something else. So he sends me to this like theater acting coach in New York off Broadway. And I go take this method class, Stanislavski method, where you got to cry and all. Oh, it's crazy. It's fucking heavy. It's like, it was like therapy in front of other actors, quote unquote. And of course, none of the actors liked me because I was the guy on MTV who just got sent over by Gus Van Sant and they'll probably never make it. And I was the asshole they didn't like. And I get it. So I did the acting class, and then that led me to when I moved to LA from New York in 98, after my friend committed suicide in my apartment, rest in peace, Kirk Sampson, it got real dark real quick, and I had to get out of New York, and shit hit the fan, and I lost another friend shortly thereafter, and it just got dark, and I moved to LA with a one-way ticket with $5,000 in my pocket. I'll never forget, because MTV didn't pay shit, paid $30,000 a year. And I moved to LA with 5 G's in my pocket and having just been on MTV and taken acting lessons. And I came to LA and I just started booking everything, like TV show, booked it, holding deal, Warner Brothers booked it. And it was all because Gus Van Sant saw me on MTV, called me in the place. I stunk it up. He sent me to an acting coach. That's the definition of fortuitous. There's no design. I just got lucky, I guess. Right place, right time. I don't know. I still don't understand how it all happened, because I never would have chased the Hollywood dream of I'm going to make it in showbiz. Like, you fucking kidding me? I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy. And I guess I'm one of the lucky ones. I worked, you know, I did enough to buy this little house in the desert and figure it out. I don't know. But now it's just like 20, Jesus Christ, this is 23 years ago, dude. 23 fucking years ago. This is pre-internet, pre-cell phone. That's how old this shit was. Maybe not pre-internet, but close enough. So anyway, there's one of my Hollywood stories for you babies. But yeah, going backwards a little bit about the faith thing, not to get all deep and shit, but hey, it's like you, like George Michael said, you gotta have faith. I want to have faith, but I feel like because I'm a product of the Western world and the United States of America, there's not a lot to believe in. Because let's be honest, you look at sort of this evangelical, you know, country, I don't subscribe to that too much. I feel like if there's a, you know, mega church selling books, you're getting conned. I feel like everything's just a con. Everything's bullshit. I don't know if I brought this up before, but I was doing Kundalini yoga for a while, like every day for a year. And one day I looked around, I'm like, dude, I think I'm starting to become in a cult. Everyone's wearing the same outfit. I never wore the outfit, but I was like, you know, kind of cracks you open. You do all this breath work shit and you kind of have these, you get high off the breathing and you're, you know, you sort of start to have a little community. And then one day I looked around and it just kind of, I got gobsmacked and I looked around. I'm like, I don't know these people. I don't know if these are my people. What am I doing here? And I had the wherewithal to get the fuck out. Because even one day the teacher said, you know, some people say we're a cult. We are a cult. And I said, oh shit, red flag. I don't want to be in a cult. I don't want to wear the same color outfit as someone. I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to, you know, the few times I put my belief and faith into someone, I've been let down. So what do you believe in? You know, if it can't be another person, is it something bigger than you? Like, yeah, there's definitely some, you know, architect to, or some source of, you know, something you could call God or the universe or whatever you want to call it, that's got to be out there. But maybe you just don't have to know what it is, you know? I don't know. I just wish that I could have faith in something that I truly believed in, because everything that's forced down our throats is bullshit. Everything, especially here in the West. You get glimpses of it when you go to other, you know, countries in Latin America or Asia, or even Europe. You feel the history and the roots. Here, I don't know, there's a disconnect that, again, they talked about it in this movie called Down to Earth. They're just like, you Western people are lost. And I feel like, yeah, I'm one of those people. And it sucks. So how, at 46 years old, do you start a new belief system? I don't know. But I'm down to do it. I'm open. Prove me wrong. Prove it to me. I want to believe it, and I will. Like last night, and here's another perfect example. A friend of mine passed away. It's so crazy, man. This is just a dark cloud. Ever since Kobe Bryant died a year ago, it's just been nonstop. It's just a fucking dark cloud of just one thing after another. I lost two friends and my internet guy who came out here, who I liked, who was like setting up my internet in the desert. All three died within 2 weeks. My friend from high school, a girl I knew in LA, and my internet guy. And rest in peace to all of them. And so fucked up. And then so last night I went outside to lay under the stars and say a little, you know, I don't even know, you call it a prayer, just a little moment for them. And after, and I was laying out there for like 25 minutes looking for a shooting star, right? This is going to sound really hokey. I'm just telling you what happened. And I was laying out there, laying under the stars, because there's so many shooting stars all the time. Well, not all the time, but often. And I'm laying there and I'm just looking at the stars and I'm just trying to like not watch TV. And so I sit, stare at the fireplace for a while, go out, look at the stars, just try to like, all right, unplug, fuck. I deleted my social media off my phone. That's something. And so I say my little thing to all of them. And then a shooting star, right after I said all three, boom, 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 shooting star. Perfect timing. I was like, oh, that's cute. maybe it's just a coincidence, but it's cute that that happened. And it, maybe that. And then I remembered Stanley Krippner was on Chris Ryan's podcast, and he said that they had done some. I just emailed him about it actually to see what the connection was, because he said there was something with shooting stars that scientifically tied it. I'm way out of my bounds here. But it's the same thing that happened when I came to look at this house to buy it. I came out here at night one night, and I'm like walking around the property, and I said to myself, should I buy this place? And at that moment, I looked up, and the biggest shooting star I've ever seen in my life lit up an orange flare across the whole sky. Like, what the fuck? So I was like, oh, that's a sign. Again, is it a coincidence? Quite possibly, sure. Could just be random. And that's the question I always wonder. Is shit random, or is there some design in this? God, I just want to know. I'm such a curious little crispy. Let me see if Stanley emailed me back about this. And maybe I shouldn't read this out loud, but I just want to see if he returned my email. No, he hasn't hit me back yet. But anyway, I'm curious about the phenomena and stuff like that. I want to make sense of it, but maybe at the end of the day, you just never know. It's all good. Just, you know, it's okay to not know and be agnostic, right? But then, yeah, fuck, man. I just want to know. So, anywho, what the fuck else? Oh, yeah, there's this thing called the Galactic Federation of Light. Are you guys familiar with this? Okay, there's a group of people who say that they are in contact with aliens, or they are the aliens who have been talking to Donald Trump, and someone from the Israeli space commitments, fucking whatever. And I'm Jewish, so I can say that. It's not racist. And there's this old 85-year-old guy. Maybe he's senile. Maybe he has an agenda. I don't know. But he came out and said, we've been in touch with aliens. They're talking to me and Trump, and there's some big stuff coming. And that just gets the people going. You know, that just gets these people that think fantastical, that want to, you know. See, that's the thing. They believe it, so is it true? It's like if you believe it, it's true, right? So in their mind, like, so what's to say what's reality anymore? That's the big thing I'm at. It's like, what's real anymore? Everyone's just got these different ideas of what's reality. And then it makes me like, what is reality? I think I have a semblance of what's really going on. And I look at shit. I'm like, okay, that I see that with my eyes. That's what just happened. But then there are people like, no, that, you know, it's like, no, that's not an airplane. It's like, look at that plane. No, that's a submarine. That's where we're at right now. Look at that airplane in the sky. And other people are like, nope, that's a submarine. That's half of America. That's not an airplane. That's a submarine. Fake news. It's just like, fuck, dude. Seriously right now? This is what the fuck is happening? It's just, it's maddening. And down the line, it's a good portion of people that I know, that I love and care about are saying that's a submarine. That's not an airplane. Fake news. Nope. Crisis actors. It's just like, okay, dude. So I try to not take it personal, because it isn't personal, and it's not my job to police anyone or change them, but I don't know why. It's maddening, because I guess I just want, I don't know. Who am I to police anybody, right? What the fuck do I know? So I'm about to do Kambo, K-A-M-B-O. It's a toad from the Amazon that they take a secretion off of the neurotoxin, if I'm saying that right, off the back of the toad and burn it into your skin, and you purge. You don't get high. It's not a psychedelic experience. It's simply a rapid detox that's supposed to be like the best thing you could possibly do to clean out whatever emotional / physical shit that you're holding on to, and you purge, right? So I'm doing it in a week from today. Or no, a week from yesterday. So I'm going to go into, I'm going to go to Malibu, and this woman comes and burns, and you know, I mean, you purge and throw up, and who knows, maybe diarrhea. I don't fucking know, but you purge, and then you're supposed to just feel like a crispy rigatoni after. I mean, you are just Valdez fucking Falanthio, dude. And supposed to be really a good rapid detox that you can't get anywhere else on the planet. So I'm going to do Kambo. That's what it's come to. I'm going to have a fucking a frog or a toad? It's a toad burned into my body and purge. Fuck it. Why not? 2021, baby. Here's another funny thing is people keep saying, 2020's over, man. Thank God. Dude, it's about to get worse. You guys are tripping. Yeah, there's a beacon of light that maybe we have a president who's somewhat conscious and somewhat better than the last one. I'm not putting all my faith in this Biden administration. I'm not falling for I'm on this side or that side. I think it's all bullshit, but it's better than what we've got the last 4 years. If you look outside and see what's going on, it doesn't seem healthy. But I don't, I mean, there's no way that this just goes away. I mean, there's about to be probably a depression of sorts, a lot of homelessness, a lot of crime, it's going to be fucking crazy, dude. This shit's not just going to go away. So I don't know why people are just like, thank God 2020s, dude. This 2021 ain't going to be a picnic either. And especially if people keep not wearing masks and denying science and looking at it like it's some fucking global, you know, cabal of people trying to muzzle you. It's like, no, dude, if you wear the mask and just be cool, we could move on and go back to movies and go back to our life and go back to restaurants. Can we just do that? It's such a small sacrifice, guys. I don't get it. I don't get why he... it's so disheartening. It's such a bummer that a very large portion of the country just thinks it's all a big lie and that it's the government, man. Like, I used to think that way when I was really young, and then I got older. I'm like, oh, that's not true. It's just not that... I don't know. Just be cool and wear a mask, guys, and we could go back to our life and normal, whatever that looked like before. This episode of Nervous Rex is brought to you by Shaman Ramen. Oh, baby, am I excited about this one. Two of my friends created the first adaptogenic superfood ramen, and boy, is it delicious. If you live in the Southern California area, you can go ahead and get it at Erewhon, but pretty soon it's going to be available all over. Look, it's an immune booster. It has 7 adaptogenic mushrooms. It's got anti-inflammatory ingredients, vitamins A and C, non-fortified nutritional yeast, soy-free, miso, 100% organic and plant-based, but the best part about it is it's sexy, and girls and guys love it when you're sexy, because you're looking good and you're feeling good and you're slurping on some delicious, nutritious love. I'm telling you, there's lion's mane in it, there's cordyceps, reishi mushrooms. Is it reishi or reishi? Either way, there's a whole bunch of mushrooms, some that I can't even pronounce. But basically, long story short, it's the world's first adaptogenic superfood ramen. Conscience, convenience in a cup. And right now, let's be honest, we're all sitting around. We got nowhere to go. We're in a pandemic, so what better time to sit around and get healthy and just spend as little time as possible cooking? It's a win-win, because I'm lazy. I just want to eat healthy, and I don't have time to be messing around. So for all you guys out there, please, you must go to shamanfoods.life and check out this product. It is so good. Or you could go to Shaman Ramen on Instagram and check out the regalia. Guys, I'm telling you right now, this is a delicious treat. I back it. I just had one, and it's slurpy, delicious treat. I love you guys. So if you don't wear a mask, you can't keep complaining. That's another annoying thing. If you're not wearing a mask, you can't keep complaining about Newsom. And this, it's like, well, fuck, dude, you're the problem. You know what I'm saying? You're the problem. It's a lot of misinformation going around out there. And it's a really strange fucking time. And especially when you're sitting alone in the desert, just swirling and overthinking. And you could lose it a little bit. But hey, losing it, I think, could be a good thing, too. Anyway, that being said, sorry to get all deep and dark on you little crispies. I'll suck your dick. So, I'm still really into Robert Greene and his book, The Laws of Human Nature. I'm a narcissist, and so are you, and that's okay. I've learned that I'm a narcissist. There's different degrees of narcissism. What kind of narcissist are you? You actually need somewhat of a narcissist to survive, I believe. But I think I'm a narcissist. I don't know if I'm a deep narcissist or a malignant narcissist, which is the worst one. I think Trump's a malignant narcissist. That's where they call it the dark triad. I think you're a sociopath, you are a narcissistic personality disorder, and Machiavellianism, I believe, are the three traits. And then there's like the aging narcissist, which I think I am, where you're like, you know, starting to get older and you look in the mirror, you're like, fuck, dude, I'm, you know, starting to notice wrinkles and gray hairs and like everything. Yeah, you're just not as sexy as you used to be. Luckily, I'm a guy, and men age like fine wine in a fucking cellar. So I'm pretty crispy with that, at least You know, a couple people told me it's the best compliment. They're like, how do you still look so young? I'm like, dude, I'm a garbage can. I don't know how the fuck. Thank you. Maybe it's just the lighting. I don't know. But you ever open your phone and the camera's on you and you're looking up at yourself and you're like, I look like a fucking dehydrated turkey from Afghanistan? That's how I feel. So when you hear that you look young, that's a compliment, because at 46 years old, you're starting to get up there. You're doing the math. You look at your watch. You're like, dude, I'm halfway to the grave if I'm lucky. My best years physically are behind me. So then you get to this state where you're like in the midlife thing and you're like, okay, it's just all about, like, you know, sort of having some wisdom and not being, it's not about being as physical and tackling the day, you know, because now you just, dude, I go for a run or work out and it's not as easy as it used to be. I put a pull-up bar at my house because pull-ups, I think, are that's the hack. If you just do a little cardio and pull-ups, push-ups, you'll be crispy. You don't need to lift a bunch of weights in your 40s and try to get buff. Those days are behind you. Accept it. Move on. All right? So anyway, narcissism. Whoever's listening to this, you're a narcissist. And that's okay. But know it, own it, and figure out what kind of narcissist you are. A lot of people might not want to admit it, but hey, it's okay, baby. Hold up that mirror. I'm here to hold the mirror up. That's where I'm at in my life. I'm like, I want to be called out. I want to call out my friends, and I want my friends to call me out so I can improve. No ego about it. Let me know what I'm doing wrong. And I'm realizing there's a lot of things that I need to change, but it's so hard to change. It really is hard to change, especially when you're kind of stuck in your ways. But like, I'm realizing there's some things that I need to do differently. It's holding up, flashing the light on your shadow, like, is no joke. You know what I'm saying? You need to look in the mirror sometimes and have your friends call you out. And I think that's important. Let me look up Robert Greene talking about narcissism, because I want to share it with you, because I'm trying to regurgitate his wisdom, but I can't do it because he is a genius and I'm a babbling idiot. All right. So here we go. Let's look at a little. I'm going to play a little clip right here. Why don't I just pay the $7 a month so I don't have to watch commercials on YouTube?
So I have a definition of narcissism that's a little different from other people's. Normally we think of a narcissist as someone who loves themselves. And I'm actually saying that a narcissist is a person who doesn't love themselves sufficiently.
Makes sense.
So in order to get through life, we have to have a degree of self-esteem. We have to think that we're worthy of certain things. We have to have a sense of inner worth. If we don't have that kind of bedrock from within, we constantly need attention and validation from other people, right? I need attention. I need to stir trouble. I need to feed my ego. I can't get it from myself. I have to get it from other people. Mm-hmm. That's a classic, what I call a deep narcissist. Mm. And that's why they cause so many problems in life. And I measure it. I say, imagine it like a water line. And here at the top is someone who's not a narcissist. Here at the middle is kind of an average person. And as you sink deeper into narcissism, you're more and more self-absorbed. You can never get up to that mid-level point where you can start thinking about other people. At the high point, you're someone who's very empathetic. You're able to get inside the mind of other people. You understand their moods, their emotions. Most of us fall at that range of maybe 60%, 50 being the middle line. We have moments of narcissism where we get self-absorbed, particularly if we have problems.
Yep.
And we turn inward. But then we have...
He just said N-word, the N-word.
Because of our parents, because of our background, that we raise ourselves back up and we don't keep continually sinking into that narcissism. We want to get higher. We want to get to that level where we're able to be more empathetic.
Get higher.
A deep narcissist has sunk so far below that they can never get up to even to that halfway point. They're so self-absorbed. They're so insecure. They constantly must stir up trouble. They need...
See, that's a big one, is insecurity. I feel like my boy Tarek, who I've had on the podcast, like, everybody's shit is from the insecurity. And I'm starting to see it, myself included, that everybody's fucking insecure and they're projecting all this psychological shit that you just didn't notice. I look back, I'm like, yeah, dude, that's exactly what it is. I'm just at a point where I don't even want to hear my own voice. I don't even want, like, I'm over myself, if I may be honest with myself and you. Just like, enough, dude. So it's so self-absorbed. Like, I go to therapy and I see a therapist. Even that within itself is narcissistic and self-absorbed. Like, oh, I'm just going to talk about myself and my problems. Like, get over yourself. Anyway, thank you, Robert Greene. I can't recommend his book enough. There's also amazing. If you just go to podcast and search his name, you could and Laws of Human Nature. He'll do 1 hour talks about it, so you could just listen or get the audiobook. Recommend it highly. And then also brings up, he talks about empathy a lot, right? And that's what happened to me, was that after living in San Francisco, New York, LA for 45 years, it made me stop. It got to a point, and I feel horrible saying this, but I'm just being honest, with the homeless situation and the mentally ill on the street, I just reached a boiling point where I felt bad that I didn't feel bad anymore. And I'd walk outside of my apartment in Santa Monica, and the amount of, within 5 minutes of chaos that you have to deal with, and you'd have to bring a knife with you because these people, you know, these mentally ill people, they come, you know, screaming and running, you know, spitting and yelling at people. You're like, I need to protect myself, you know? It reminded me of San Francisco, which is out of control with the homeless. New York, back when I lived there in the 90s, there'd be street crazies more than there is now. And then now LA is really bad, in Venice, Santa Monica, all throughout Hollywood, the tent cities everywhere, Bay Area, it's out of control. And I started feeling bad that I didn't feel bad anymore, if that makes sense. And I said, I'm done. I'm moving out to the middle of the desert to be as far away from everybody as possible. And I sort of reached this point with my empathy meter with other humans that I didn't know, where I used to walk by and feel bad. God, what's that person's story? Poor person. How did they end up here? That, you know, Reagan really fucked us back in the 80s by taking all the mentally ill and putting them on the street and not housing them like other first world countries. But that's a whole other story. And now here's the end result of that decision. And I feel bad that I don't feel bad anymore. Can you get the empathy back? How does that work? Was that a temporary thing? I don't know, but yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to get all deep on you guys. It's just like, what the fuck? It's hard to just be funny and cheery. Like I sit in front of my computer to make a song and do something funny or create a funny video. I'm like, shit ain't funny right now. So it's hard to be funny when the environment and the collective consciousness is not funny. It's dark. It's fucking sad. It's tragic. It's scary. It's weird. It's uncertain. Everyone's free falling. No one knows. People are like, what are you doing? I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, my mom hits me up. She's like, what are you going to do? What's your plan? I'm like, there is no fucking plan. There's nothing to do. I sit in the desert by myself, or I go into COVID LA city and risk it all to hang out with some friends, to simply talk to somebody and socialize. That's where I'm at. It is fucking weird. So you just go through this interior dialogue in your head, this inner dialogue, where you just got to talk yourself, you know, it gets all weird and you're like, no, it's okay, I'm good, you'll get through this, stick it out. And you just got to you got to self-discipline. Go for a little run, work out, whatever, eat healthy, that's all you can do. Fuck, man, that's where it's at. I love you guys so much, though. I didn't mean to get all dark and crispy on you babies. I need to just, it's like I've been lagging on the podcast because I don't want to come in like this. I'm just being honest. I don't want to come in talking about this kind of shit, but that's all there is to talk about, you know? That's why I like sharing these little Hollywood stories. Those are fun. Oh, man, I got some good ones. Fuck, the best ones I can't tell, unfortunately. I got some good fucking stories that I don't want to be a rat. I'm not a rat. People are always like, you need to write a book, man. You got the best stories with Charlie Sheen and Paris Hilton and all these crazy flying on jets with the, you know. I'm not a rat. I can't rat them out. So some of the stories got to just stay between me and a couple of my friends. Is that ratting if you just tell a couple friends these good stories? Because I got some good ones. Oh, if I was a rat, I could write a book. But I'd rather make less money and not be a rat. So, that being said, now my life consists of, you know, chopping firewood, which is great. I just sit, look at the fire. It's kind of meditative if you just stare at a crackling fire. Oh, this is my favorite, ADD boy. This is my favorite new thing to go to sleep to. Holy shit, this is the best. Check this shit out. So, you know, I'm always looking for like nature playlists, or like, you know, the sound of like, you know, rain falling on the, rain falling on a tin roof, or, you know, to go to sleep. And I found these videos on YouTube. You could look them up. And they're basically, here it is, oldies music playing in another room, and it's raining with fire crackling. Listen to this shit, bro. This is the best to sleep to.
feed me.
So that's a fire crackling, rain, and oldies in another room through a muffled door. Oh, wait, that was... Sorry. Anyway, you get the idea. Go to look up on YouTube, oldies music playing in another room, and then you'll see some with rain, some without rain. That's my new shit, baby. Oh, it's so good. It's just kind of... I don't know. There's something about the combination of the crackling fire, the rain, and some old muffled. Sounds like a ghost getting butt fucked. It's great. It's great. Anywho, I'd be lying if I didn't say I was depressed a little bit. I think I have mild depression, but is it just because of what's going on right now? Is anyone else feeling that funk? I'm just being honest. I'm a little depressed, but yeah, it comes and goes in waves like anything else. Everything's waves. You know what I'm saying? Everything kind of comes and goes. You go through phases. I've also never been this sober in my whole life. I'm a narcissist. I'm just here talking about myself into a microphone. Fucking over it. But hey, you know, just being honest. Just trying to be honest. Another thing I realized on narcissism, I'm a people pleaser while I'm talking about myself. I got to work on stop making everyone else happy and make myself happy. You know, I've been a dancing court jester just trying to make everyone laugh out of my insecurity. For so long that I just forgot how to make myself happy, right? But then here's the conundrum. This is what I do for a living. This is how I get paid. This podcast makes me a little money. Oh, there's a little chipmunk on a rock. See, everything's going to be all right. Oh, he's a big one. Big boy. There's some big animals out here. Saw mountain lion paw marks and a big pile of shit today. So he's close, or she. Maybe, I don't know what gender, but it's out there. Hey, Goonie. Here's a little Goonie out there. So, and then everything's going to be all right once you see a little Goonie. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Myself. I've been a people pleaser for so long, and I've been a dancing court jester. And then now here's the conundrum. That's what I do for a living. So what, am I going to just stop and just get into real estate? I guess I could, but I painted myself into a corner. Yeah, that's what's going on. I hope this podcast didn't make your day too shitty, but at the end of the day, when a little chipmunk gets up on a rock and looks at you, everything's going to be all right. Hope you guys suck your own dicks, and I hope you guys, if you guys want to, I'm going to recommend a podcast to you guys, Tuesdays with Stories, because they kind of go in what I'm doing right now. They analyze and ask questions and go deep and hold the mirror up to themselves, and they hate themselves. But it's really funny because they're two of the funniest comics on the planet. So I'm going to end my shitty podcast by telling you to go check out Tuesdays with Stories with Mark Norman and Joe List, because those guys, I think I need a co-host. I need someone to bounce off of, but who's going to do that with me? You know what I'm saying? I love you, babies. Have a beautiful day. We're all in a funk together. We're going to be all right. Democrat, Republican, Americans, we all got to just squash this shit and be cool with each other. Look, America's got 350 million people, more or less. We're not all going to get along. We're not some smaller country, you know. We're not Australia or Canada with 30 million people. And we got too many people, and it's like having a shitty roommate. And I've had shitty roommates, and you figure it out, you know. We all don't have to agree on stuff. That's my point. It's okay to not have the same political conspiratorial beliefs. We can all still get along. Let's just stop. I don't ever want to talk to anyone ever again about politics or conspiracy theories. Ever again. I want to make a t-shirt that says, I don't want to talk about politics or conspiracy theories ever again. Because everybody just wants to open up their butthole and spew out their shit about what they know. Myself included. Do you see where I'm going with this? Because I don't. Anyway, love you guys. All right, here we go. I'll see y'all later.
me.